From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The present message is entitled, Seven Symbols of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is represented by various figures or manifestations, all of which teach us a particular truth about the Spirit's character and functions. So far, Dr. Cairns has spoken of the Holy Spirit as a dove, indicating His purity, as wind, emphasizing His sovereignty, as breath, showing His vitality, as fire, a symbol of His potency, and as water, speaking of His activity. Today we'll see that the Holy Spirit is represented many times as oil, which, among other things, reflects the authority of the Spirit. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, What is the best way to study the Bible? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
When I'm asked how best a new Christian can study the Bible, my answer starts at a place that may sound a little ridiculous. I'm thinking of one of England's greatest ever Bible students and scholars. And when he was speaking, he was a university professor, and when he was speaking to young preachers, they asked him the similar question. And he said, I would start by reading. And he mentioned a part of Scripture, John's Gospel. Read. How are you going to study the Bible? Well, let me suggest you start reading the Bible. I say this because most people who want to study the Bible, they want a quick fix. They want a book that will tell them all about the Bible in 5 minutes. You've got it. Well, there isn't any such thing. You start by reading the Bible. Now, read it consecutively. A lot of people want to just open it here and there and everywhere, so that today they'll read a Psalm, tomorrow they'll read in Romans, the next day they'll read in Genesis, the next day they'll read a little part of Ephesians, or Ecclesiastes, or whatever, and they wonder why they know nothing and never grow. Read the Bible consecutively. Stick to a plan. There are various good Bible reading plans available. But when you get to reading, then start to study. I turned out some time ago a little leaflet called The Ten Commandments of Bible Study to deal with this very thing, where you read a passage and then you start going through it again, asking certain questions. For example, and I would recommend, write down the answers. What does it teach me about God? Read it again, find out all that it does teach you about God. Specifically, what does it teach me about Christ? What are the doctrines that are listed or noted in this chapter of the Bible? What are the sins that here I find that I should avoid? What are the virtues that I should seek to emulate? Who are the chief characters in this chapter? Things like that. And when you have done that chapter after chapter after chapter, it'll become more like second nature as you're reading the Bible to read it analytically like this. Now, this is just a start. There are other ways to study the Bible. And you can study the doctrines, you can study the books. There are many ways to study the Bible, but start by reading, getting a real knowledge of the content of the Bible. And then, chapter by chapter, take these 10 commandments of Bible study, and we'll be glad to supply them free to anybody who wants them, and put them into practice, and you'll be amazed at how quickly the Word of God becomes a living part of your life, and what you write down in answer to these questions then becomes the basis of your prayer life. When you're approaching God, it's God as he's just been revealed to you in Scripture. It's praising him for Christ as you've just found him in Scripture. When you're confessing sin, it's in the light of the Scripture that has just spoken to your conscience, and things of that nature. So read the Bible, and then chapter by chapter, analyze it to find out what it's teaching in these basic areas. Once you've done that, then you'll begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
There's fire, there's warmth. God knows in this day of externals, when we simply say and do the right things and look good, there is a mighty necessity for the heart-warming influence of the Holy Ghost. When the Lord Jesus spoke after his resurrection to those on the road to Emmaus, did they not say, did not our hearts burn within us? There's the potency of the Spirit. Very quickly, there's water, which speaks to me of the activity of the Spirit. John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 37 and 38, said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. Here Christ says, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now it's interesting, if you look at John's Gospel, the instances where the water is used. John 3, born of water and the Spirit. John 4, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well of Sychar. And he says that if you believe in me, I will give you water that will be in you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. You'll never thirst again. And then John 7, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. There's a progression there. John 3, born of water and the Spirit. That's the operation of the Spirit in salvation. John 4, the well of water springing up. That's the operation of the Spirit. Satisfying every inward and personal need of the believer. The Spirit and satisfaction of life in the Christian. And then John 7, you've got it even more. You've got the water, you're saved, it's springing up, you're satisfied, but it's bursting forth, it's overflowing. That's service. The ministry of the Spirit in salvation, in satisfaction, and then in service. And as someone has rightly said, it is only the overflow from the Christian's life that can ever do good to those around him. So many of us have hardly enough spiritual grace to meet our own needs from day to day. We're struggling. We're under bondage. We have hardly enough power to overcome in our own lives. We're not living in the fullness of the victory ourselves. And so there is nothing but words, nothing but theories for the world outside. There's not that vital overflowing. And it's only when God's people have that mighty gushing forth, that spontaneous outpouring of the Spirit's power from them, that they can ever be of much use in the service of God. Now let me tell you, we have God's promise that we can be so filled with the Holy Ghost. That's God's promise. It's not just for the Ian Paisleys of this world and the Bob Joneses of this world and the great preachers and evangelists. This is for every child of God. Listen to the promise over in Isaiah 41 and verse 17. This is a very dear promise to me. You have often heard me mention. In fact, when Ken Elliott was preaching here a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this. How in the fall of 1976, Ken was coming to preach a mission. Dr. Bob was there for one special meeting, and he spoke on Andrew finding his own brother Peter. God gave us a great meeting that night. And from that night we had, of course we had a whole week of prayer. But from that night, we called a meeting that would start one night, go right through the night, and right through the next day, and right through the prayer meeting the following evening. With 28 solid hours of prayer. Now you can't do that in the flesh. You try that and you'll end up feeling you're dead. But we believed the Spirit of God was leading, and He was leading. Do you know one of the great promises that was pleaded again and again and again at that prayer meeting was this one, Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Another promise we pleaded at that time was in Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground and pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Here, my friend, is the promise for every Christian. Those of you who have heard the tape of the Isle of Lewis revival will have heard Duncan Campbell recite the story of one old Presbyterian elder who had been in the prayer meeting. They had been praying for a breaking through of God in the midst. And even though there had been some revival, the prayer meeting was tough going. Never believe that because you get into revival, praying will lose the opposition of the devil. But finally, after hours of waiting on God, this man got up and he cried, "My God, you've said I will pour water on him that is thirsty. And as best I know my heart, Lord, I am thirsty. And I challenge you now to fulfill your word." And God fulfilled his word. Thank God there's fullness. There's a lovely picture of this in Ezekiel 47. I have only time to refer you to it. I'm not going to preach it. Here the prophet verse 1, gets a vision, behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house. Verse 3, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Let me tell you, my friend, I would to God we had more time just in this very point. We don't need more theories about the Holy Ghost. We don't merely need more teaching. Now, we do need teaching because there has been a serious overlooking in fundamental churches of the Bible teaching and the Holy Ghost. But it's not just more teaching we need. In verse 1, Ezekiel saw the waters. I think, my friend, from all that I have said today, you can see the waters. But that's not enough. He brought me through the waters. Ah, there's the personal experience. Let that be your cry. Lord, bring me through the waters. Now, here is the road to revival. Personal revival. Corporate revival. Waters first to the ankles. In other words, there has to be a walk in the Spirit. Then you will look in verse 4. He brought me through the waters. The first experience was not enough to go on with. If you've learned to walk in the Spirit, if you would go deeper, my friend, there's new experiences of the Spirit of God. He brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Oh, we need to pray in the Spirit. And then again in verse 4, he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. That speaks of the strength and the service. There has got to be serving in the Spirit. And then he brings us in verse 5, and we read, the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. Waters to swim in. Man, it's good when God gets us to such a place with himself that our feet are off the ground. I have to confess that when I am out swimming, I never like to be in a place where I can't get part of my foot firmly on Mother Earth beneath me, or on the tides of the pool, or whatever the case may be. I don't like to be out of my depth. I want to have something that I can exert my energy upon, and I can do my thing to keep things going the way I want them to go. That's natural, I suppose, to most of us. But in the spiritual realm, my revival is when we are swept out into the unfathomable depths of the fullness of the Spirit of God, where there's no standing in the human sense of the word, where there is no means for us to exert the energy of the flesh contrary to the leading of the Spirit, but where the mighty fullness of the Holy Ghost sweeps us along, and there are waters to swim in. How do you get into revival? Walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, serve in the Spirit, but it's the Spirit. It's the all-important factor there. Then there's oil. We read of that in Zechariah 4 this morning. I knew some of you were wondering why we read Zechariah 4. Well, there's the symbol, the oil. What a picture. It's a threefold message, really. It speaks first of authority. Luke 4:18 and a few other texts, Christ was anointed. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and a very, very important text in 1 John 2:20. Christians are anointed. The references to that action in the Holy Spirit were in the Old Testament, where the prophets, priests, and kings were anointed for their office of service with oil. Now, Christ was anointed. God was saying, this is my beloved Son, my prophet, my priest, my king. Christians are anointed. If you look at 2 Corinthians 1:21, God anoints, as Paul says. And that shows the authority of Christians in two ways. First, he says he has sealed us. That's present assurance. When the Holy Ghost anoints you, he gives you the authority to say, I am a child of God. Secondly, he's the earnest.
That's future certainty. The Holy Ghost anointing you gives you the authority to say, not only am I now saved, not in hell at this point in time, but I will never be in hell. I will be in heaven, certainly and surely, because I have the Spirit of God, the earnest, the guarantee, the down payment of heaven to come. In addition, there's a third idea present in 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 1 John 2:20, and that is the authority of approved service. When the Holy Ghost anoints you, He gives you authority in your service, authority in your preaching. You have the unction. You're not depending on human standards, human authorities, human philosophies. You've got the authority of God. I often quote those words of Acts 5 and 32. Peter says, we are His witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost, which God hath given to them that obey Him. That's the authority.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.